Am I on? Yes, I am on. Shall we pray together as we look at God's word this evening? Father, we thank you so much for the way that you're at work in all of our lives. Thank you for these testimonies and for the way that they point us to you and help us to go on trusting you. And this evening, as we look at this passage together, as we look at the theme of the fruit of the Spirit, Father, I pray that you would help us to open our hearts and open our minds to what you have to say to us this evening. Amen. Brilliant. Well, just like David said, tonight we are starting a new series in the evening service, and we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And this is a really great topic if you are somebody like me who every now and again has a major panic about what they have achieved so far in their life and starts to worry that maybe their life is not going as quickly or as well as they once hoped. Just a few weeks ago, me and my wife, we were on holiday in Scotland, and we were having a lovely time. The weather was really good, and we sat down to have dinner one evening, and we cooked, I think it was fajitas or something together. We were sat down in the little Airbnb place where we were staying, and my wife was just looking at the side of my head. And she kept looking at the side of my head, and every now and again she would look down at her meal and then look up again and look at the side of my head, and it was really off-putting and really distracting. So eventually it got to the point where I said, "Why are you staring at my ear?" Well, I thought she was staring at my ear. And she said, "No, nothing, nothing." So we carried on eating. And then she kept doing it again. And I said, "Why are you staring at my ear, Caroline? This is really annoying." And everything was going so well, apart from my wife just kept looking at the side of my head. And she's like, "Just stay there for just a moment." And she went up to my hair and started fiddling around in my hair. And I thought, "Oh my word, there must be a spider or something in my hair." So I stood extremely still as she started playing around in my hair. But suddenly she started pulling. And out of my hair was plucked a grey hair and presented to me whilst I was eating my dinner. And I was just like, "Oh, well, okay, thanks for that. That wasn't really as important as you thought it was in that situation." But Caroline found it hilarious and couldn't stop laughing that I had a grey hair before she had a grey hair. And after a while of laughing and just making a joke out of my single grey hair that she found, I began to get a little bit upset. And Caroline says to me, "Why are you upset?" And you have to understand that I am prone to exaggerate and to get very stressed about very small things. And all of these things started coming out, and I was like, "Oh my word, I'm 28 and I've got a grey hair and I haven't achieved any of the things that I dreamed of doing in my life." And Caroline just told me to get on with it and to just get a grip on reality. But actually, it really stuck with me for the next few days, and we'd be walking around like amazing lochs in Scotland and looking at this scenery, and I'd have these moments of just standing there thinking, as I looked out at the loch and the beautiful scenery and thinking, "Wow, God, yes, I need to make sure that I use this limited time I have in my life to make sure that I see as many lochs as possible and to see as much of the beautiful scenery that you've put around me," and loads of silly things like this. Well, I don't know if any of you ever slip into thinking like that and you ever wonder, "Oh my word, what have I achieved in my life? What am I going to go on and do with my life because I'm running out of time?" But if you do ever feel like that, and I have a suspicion that one or two of us might, then you are in the right place for the next few weeks, because the fruit of the Spirit is a great sermon series to help us see what really matters in our life and to help us see how we can bear fruit in our life, fruit that will last and fruit that really matters more than, I don't know, walking around locks and other exciting things, which I felt were very important during our holiday in Scotland. So if you've got a Bible with you tonight, and there's Bibles in the pews, which I'd encourage you to pick up, we're going to look, first of all, not at the passage in Galatians 5, but at John chapter 15, because we're just going to look at the idea of bearing fruit before we focus on the aspect of that fruit called joy. So we're going to look at John 15, and I'm just going to read to us the first 8 verses. And if you've got one of these lovely, trendy church Bibles, that's on page 1022. So John chapter 15, and this is Jesus speaking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And for me, certainly over the last few weeks, this passage has kept coming back to me time and time again. And it's a very, very simple picture that it gives us, really, for us and our lives. And we've got an amazing picture here of a vine and some branches, and then growing on the branches are some lovely, plump, juicy, and delicious grapes. And what I love about this passage is, on the one hand, perhaps it's not that exciting to be told that we are branches. I mean, it's not the most exciting kind of profession that I would like to take on in my life, to be thought of as a branch. But actually, the really exciting thing about this passage is that it tells us that if we want to bear fruit, if we want to live lives that bear much fruit, all we need to do is to remain in Jesus, to remain connected to that trunk who is Christ. And when we're connected to Jesus, it's very simple. That's how we bear fruit. Sometimes in my life, it's really tempting to try and disconnect myself from Jesus, and a bit like snapping off the kind of the vine that holds the grapes. But like this passage says, if we do that, we're no good for anything. We're just like firewood that can be cast on the fire and burned. So actually, the way to live a fruitful life, the way to do lots of exciting things for Jesus, is very simple. It's just to remain in him. And when we remain in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. And like it says in verse 8, to the Father's glory, you will bear much fruit. And this is fruit that will last. It will last forever. So we're going to turn now with that idea of fruit to Galatians chapter 5. And if you've got one of the church Bibles, that's on page 1107 is where we're going to look at. And in Galatians 5, it gives us a little bit more information about what this fruit looks like. So I'm just going to read from verse 22 onwards. So this is a description of what this fruit looks like. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So over the next few weeks at the evening service, what we're going to do is we're going to take this fruit of the Spirit and we're going to look at a different aspect of it each week. And it's really important, I think, to grasp that this is just one fruit. In Greek, the word is karpos for fruit, and that's a singular word. But there's actually lots of different aspects to this one fruit, and we're going to look at one each week. And you might think, well, the first one is love. Why are we not starting with love tonight? But actually, all of them, I think, are a kind of picture of love. And love encompasses all of the fruits. So we're actually going to start with joy tonight. So the second one in our list, we're going to jump straight in with joy. And this evening, it's very simple. I'm just going to try and draw out three very simple points about joy and this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we can apply to our lives. And even though they're simple, I hope actually you'll see why these points are so important and why they've really challenged me, especially in the last week. So first of all, I just want to really stress to us, and this might sound really obvious, but I forget this so much of the time, that joy does not equal happiness. You know, happiness is a really glad feeling that we have. I feel very happy when I see some friends. I feel very happy when I go to Cafe Nero and have a really good cup of coffee. I also feel very happy when I see a beautiful scenery or a beautiful sunset. But actually, that happiness is dependent on the circumstances that I find myself in. So, for example, it's very hard to be happy about my friendship with other people if I have no friends. Do you get what I'm saying? It's very happy to be excited about a coffee in Cafe Nero if I don't actually have a coffee in front of me. But by contrast, joy is much more impressive than happiness. Joy is almost like the strong foundation which supports happiness, but isn't dependent on circumstances. And a little bit on in the chapter that we read from John 15, in verse 11, Jesus says that his joy will remain in us and nobody will be able to take it away from us. So joy is not dependent on circumstances. And actually, I think you can have joy even in the most difficult and hardest situations. I remember when I was an undergraduate sitting in the library and studying away furiously for my final exams. And even in those really hard moments, even in those moments where I just felt like the work was never ending, all of a sudden I remember being filled with a really deep sense of joy that actually God was with me and he was in control. But the time in my life where I think I've seen the most impressive example of joy, which wasn't dependent on circumstances, was a few years before this time when I was an undergraduate, and I went on a mission trip to Zambia. And one Sunday morning when we were on our trip, we were told that we were going to go to see a feeding project. And a feeding project was set up to basically feed children who were malnourished and whose parents were normally HIV positive, and some of the children were also HIV positive. So we were warned this was going to be quite a difficult morning, but I don't think I was really ready for the kind of circumstances that I actually experienced whilst we were there. And so we were all kind of lumbered onto a minibus, and we started driving off out of the town where we were based into the countryside. And basically, as we kind of went further and further out of the countryside, we drove for a few hours, you just saw the land become more and more barren. And just the kind of houses and the places that people were living in just were really, really not very pleasant. It was, I guess, very eye-opening to me as a 19-year-old to suddenly see the way that so many people in the world lived, which was so different to the comfortable life that I lived. And I've got some pictures. I don't know if, Paul, we can put them up just to give you an idea. So this is just a very typical place where people would live. This is the area surrounding the place where we went and visited a feeding project. And if we go on to the next slide, this is just an example of one of the guys, one of the children that was being fed at the feeding project. And you can just see it was really, really basic. And they just these kind of raffia mats on the floor. It was just a shack so the children were out of the shade. And they were just fed a really, really simple meal. You can just see there was a little bit of sausage, I think some oniony type stuff, and then a big dollop of enchima. If any of you have ever been to Africa, it's almost like this big kind of fat, hot porridge that is one of the staple foods, a bit like we eat lots of potatoes. And what really struck me as being slightly out of the usual was that as I sat down, and I felt extremely fat and awkward as I sat down in this tent with lots of malnourished children who'd walked miles and miles for hours and hours to come and eat food, was the kindness of this boy who actually offered to share his meal with me. I mean, that completely blew my mind. And I started to realize that even though this was awful circumstances these people were living in, something wasn't quite living up to what I expected. I thought people would be selfish and grab onto all that they had, but actually people were extremely generous and extremely kind. And if we go on to the next slide, this is a picture of what happened after everybody ate. We all went outside, and the children asked if we could play games and we could sing songs with them. And we spent, I think, well, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours just in the glorious African sun singing songs. And the pastor at the local church joined in with us, and we were singing all different songs. I have to be honest with you, as we were there, basically in the mud, singing these songs, I was filled with the most incredible sense of joy, a sense of joy which completely transcended the circumstances that we were actually in. And the children and the pastor that was there as well seemed to experience this joy as well. And it was just a really special moment for me where I realized that, wow, God, even though these are really difficult circumstances, circumstances that nobody should ever, ever have to face, your joy still breaks through in these moments. Simple truths like you are the light of the world and that we can shine for you have a whole new meaning in this context. And so, although it might sound simple to say that joy does not equal happiness, it doesn't depend on our circumstances, I want to encourage you that that is an amazing truth to hold on to, even when you feel like the circumstances around you are not great and you are going through hard times in your life. Cling on to that truth, that you can still find the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord can still be your strength, even in those difficult moments. So joy does not equal happiness. But secondly, joy also looks to God as its source. In the passage I read to us from John 15, In verse 5, it says, how we bear fruit when we are connected to Jesus. And actually, if we bear fruit when we're connected to Jesus, then Jesus must be the source of our joy. And actually, that idea is also picked up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 16 to 18, where it says, Jesus is the source of our joy, and our joy flows out of the gratitude that we have for all God has done for us. And so I would encourage all of us tonight, and I'm speaking to myself as well, because I do really love a good coffee in Cafe Nero and spending time with friends, that even when those things are around, to look to God to provide the joy that we need. A few years ago, I had the amazing privilege of having a line manager who basically was very keen to encourage me in my spiritual walk with God. And one of the things that she was very honest and open with me about was how she struggles sometimes to find joy, especially when she'd had a hard and difficult day and she'd met lots of people who'd been facing very difficult pastoral situations. So the way that my line manager decided that she was going to overcome this problem was that at the end of every day, she got a notebook and she was going to write down 10 blessings from that day. And she made this her New Year's resolution a couple of years back. And she did that every single day of the year. At the end of every day, she sat down and she tried to find 10 ways that God had blessed her each day. 10 ways that God had brought her a little bit of joy. And sometimes they were really basic things like, thank you, God, that you've given me 3 meals today, especially if it was a really bad day. Hopefully other days it was easier to find blessings to write down in her book. But it was amazing to see how over the course of the year, the simple exercise of writing down 10 blessings every day really opened her eyes to how God is the one who blesses us, who brings us that joy that we need, even if we have a really difficult or a hard day. And actually, it was contagious because then I started doing it. And sometimes I still do it now, even when I'm having a little bit of a bad day. And earlier in the week, I've had a really boring week. I've just been writing essays. And I don't really like my own company. And I get annoyed at myself. And I've eaten all my Easter eggs. And I was just feeling really, really sick and fed up. And so I decided I was going to have a shower. And I was feeling quite sorry for myself as I was in the shower and just a bit grumpy, really, that I still had quite a lot of work to do and I haven't achieved as much as I wanted to. But as I was in the shower, I decided, okay, come on, Matt, you can think of at least 5 blessings from today, maybe even more. And so I started off, and at first I was extremely grumpy, and I was like, oh, well, thank you, God, for a hot shower. And yeah, I remember when our boiler broke earlier in the year, and that was awful, so thank you now that I have a hot shower. But then as I started to do that, it was amazing what God did, because suddenly I started to thank God. Oh, yeah, thank you, God, for our house. I mean, and it's tiny, but it's perfect for us at the moment. And we've had so many fun times here. We've had so many people around for dinner. Yeah, God, thank you for our house. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, actually, our house is great, and it's in Ely. Yes, God, thank you so much for Ely. Thank you so much for the fact that we moved to Ely a few years back. I mean, it was a bit of a risky decision, but we love it in Ely. Ely is a great place to live. Oh, yeah, and when we moved to Ely, we joined St. Mary's. God, thank you so much for St. Mary's. Thank you for all the family that we have at St. Mary's who encourage us and the place where we belong. And the list went on and on and on, even incorporated Easter eggs. But as I kept going on, and by the time I got out of the shower and my wife Caroline came home from work, I was so joyful. I mean, this joy had welled up inside me by just focusing on what God had given me, by focusing on the small and tiny blessings that he had given me in my life. And actually, that evening as I went to bed, I suddenly had a different perspective on everything around me. Even though I still had lots of work to do and even though I was quite stressed, I was able to look to God for a sense of joy. And a knowledge that he was with me and that he loved me and that he had good plans for me. So joy doesn't equal happiness, but also joy looks to God as its source. And finally, just one very simple point again to add to this list that we're creating tonight. Joy lasts. So we've had joy doesn't equal happiness. Joy looks to God as its source. And finally, joy lasts. In John 15, verse 16, it says that Jesus has appointed us to bear fruit that will last. And actually, later in the Bible, in Revelation, it talks about one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and many of the things that do not bring us joy, like death and sorrow and crying, will fade away. But joy will last for eternity. So our joy will never, ever be taken away from us. And I wonder what you will feel like one day when you come face to face with Jesus, when you look at him in the eyes and he welcomes you to heaven and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I hope at that moment that you will feel joy. I can't wait for that moment. It's really, really exciting. But even now in our lives, when we have harder moments, when we face suffering and difficult times, I want to encourage us that we can look to Jesus and trust him, that he can use suffering and he can use hard moments to prune us, to change us, to mold us into who he wants us to be. He can transform our character through suffering so that we will find joy that lasts for all eternity. So I want to encourage you tonight to contend for joy, to look for joy, to hold on to it when you find it, and to ask God to fill you with that joy every single day. Over the last few weeks, like I said, I've just been working at home and college starts back tomorrow, but I really found, and this sounds so simple and it's so basic, I'm ashamed to admit it, but on the mornings where I sit and eat my breakfast and I actually bother to open the Bible and to ask God to just help me for the day ahead, to provide for me and to be my source of joy in the day ahead, it makes a huge difference to the day where I just get really stressed and panic and I just plow on through my breakfast and just rush on to whatever tasks are ahead in the day. Contend for joy. Ask Jesus to fill you with that joy every single morning. And even if the day ahead of you is difficult, even though the circumstances are really hard, hold on to the fact that that joy is there. We just need to find it. Jesus will bless us and he will help us to find him when we look to him. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you that all we need to do to bear fruit is to remain in you. And Father, as we think about this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, I pray that you would help all of us here this evening to experience the deep sense of joy and peace that comes from knowing you and walking with you. And Father, even at those times where it seems that everything is bleak, where everything seems hopeless and sad and useless, Father, I pray that you would help us to look to you and to find our source of joy in you, knowing that this joy will last into eternity. Amen.